Hello, podcasters. How do we change the world? One successful podcast at a time. You're listening to Become a Successful Podcaster with host Bruce Chamoff. Rate him on Apple Podcasts.
You have a podcast? Now it's time to grow it. Build your audience, monetize, and more. It's all about becoming a successful podcaster. Now here's your host, Bruce Chamoff.
Welcome to Become a Successful Podcaster with Bruce Chamoff, where we help you become successful in your show with everything from audience growth to monetization to success in general. You probably have heard of the Mastermind Group, or maybe just the term Mastermind. And it was made famous by two people, which you probably have heard both of them. And if not, you probably have heard of the Mastermind Group first introduced by Napoleon Hill in his 1939 book, Think and Grow Rich, which today is amazingly still selling millions of copies because the information has never really changed and it still resonates with people of all types of spaces. Nowadays, we call it spaces. And the other person you think of is this man right here who's on my show, Jay Fairbrother. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Bruce. Welcome. Thanks for having me. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Yes. When we talked about Mastermind Group, we don't really think about how to use that for podcasters. And I spoke to a few people in the past who had a mastermind group for podcasting, and I don't believe it's around anymore. Jay, I know that you have a course, you have an interesting sales pitch, and you have a good website for it. Now, we're talking about forming a mastermind group specifically for podcasters. And you've also mentioned to me in a couple conversations that you're already working with podcasters, so you're no stranger to helping out podcasters. So talk to me about your course and how it can actually benefit podcasters. We're getting right into it.
All right. So I think, first of all, it's important to understand that there are different types of masterminds that you can create. There are masterminds where you are the teacher, so to speak. So you have an expertise, say podcasting, and you're helping teach others how to do it as successfully as you have, right? So that's one sort of type. The other is a true peer mastermind, where while there's somebody who's the leader in the sense that they put it together and they facilitate it and they go out and find all the people, the concept is that everyone's more of a peer level within the group. So you mentioned that you're aware of a mastermind group of podcasters in the past, and it doesn't have to be like I'm the king podcaster and you're all the little podcasters and I'm going to teach you about it. That's one type of mastermind. But the other is, hey, we're all podcasters. We're all relatively equals here. Let's learn from each other. Let's take the Napoleon Hill concept of, you know, a person with a brain and another person a brain in a room creates a third brain. And multiply that by 8 or 10 or 12 people who are all similar, have similar challenges, frustrations, similar aspirations and goals. And let's create that group brain trust so that we work together to help elevate everyone in the group. So the group success becomes as important as each individual person's success.
I was thinking about the latter, obviously, where everybody is unequal ground, right? And yes, you can probably do the first example that you talked about where one person is leading it. But I think in the podcasting space, we probably don't want that. We don't want the leader. Maybe one person facilitates, I think, as you mentioned, but everybody will be on equal level in an equal playing field. So, which is a really cool thing, because we want to talk about how we can give advice to each other, right? And you have an amazing course. I did come to your webinar the other night and listening to all the benefits, right? Because it's always the benefits that sell. And it was amazing. And you were talking about, and I didn't mention, I mean, I'm normally very active in all these meetings. Like I always speak up. And this time I decided to just listen, take a back seat, and just hear how valuable your information was. And of course, what some of the people were asking. And what's really good about your webinars is that you get people involved. You ask questions. You tell people to type the answers to your questions into the chat, which is great. And I don't see that happening in a lot of Zoom calls. So it's really cool that you do that. You get people interactive. But that, of course, is the whole nature of a mastermind group, is to get everybody active and maybe not get advice from one person, but get advice from everybody as a whole. That's how I see it working. And I think that's really a good thing, because even though you might be a successful podcaster, there might be one aspect of your show that you're just not succeeding at, right? Nobody's perfect. No show is perfect. And I've learned that from just coming to your webinar the other night, learning that it could be people who you might charge a certain amount of money to join the podcasting group, but it's not really about a leader, unless, of course, that's what people want, is they want to learn. Like I know in this particular podcast, and of course, owning the World Podcast Network, people actually come to me and ask me all types of questions. How do I start? How do I find content? How do I even name my episodes? That is more of a coaching approach, which you also mentioned. And that could work also, like you're one coach and you're coaching everybody inside of a mastermind group. But I like the second concept where everybody just pretty much gives their input and they're all on the same challenge, the same level, which I think is great. So you've opened up my eyes to that. Now, my question for you, my next question is, let's say that we have a health podcaster. That person could be a doctor, it could just be a nutritionist, be somebody in health. How can that person make their podcast succeed with Mastermind Group?
So there's also two ways that you can approach that. One is that you create a mastermind of other health-related podcast hosts. So everybody is talking about a similar subject, and everybody knows the subject. They might have different modalities that they specialize in or whatever, different approaches, but everybody's in that one space. That's sort of what we call an industry-specific mastermind. The other is you intentionally go out and find other podcasters who are not in the health space, but in different industries and that kind of thing. And there's pluses and minuses to each approach. In the latter approach, one of the advantages you're bringing in is diversity of thought and opinions and ideas. Because in a mastermind where everybody's in the same industry, often in a particular industry, everybody thinks inside the same box, so to speak. And when you open it up to people outside the industry, sometimes, like in my experience, in I've been in masterminds for 25 years of many different kinds and varieties, but in the ones that there's diversity, I'm almost always surprised at a question that somebody will ask of one of the other members that I thought, man, I never even would have thought to ask that question. Because they're coming from out a different industry, they have different thought processes and ways to approach things. So, you know, I like that diversity, but again, there's also value in the specialization, so that, you know, hey, we all have health podcasts. Let's talk about how we can, you know, support each other within this universe and sort of network and that we all operate in. So there's two approaches. Neither is, you know, the right or wrong approach.
It's interesting you said that. And I'm thinking what's resonating with me is when you said that people in the same industry think inside the box. But in order to succeed, you always have to think outside the box. How can I be different? Maybe, maybe not. But that's how my thinking is, where if I'll never succeed if I'm not different. That's how I look at it, right? I mean, how can you, and let's take a good example. Let's take an interesting example, a dentist, right? Every dentist you can go to can, and I'll give you the example of a real life example of what I found here. So every example, every dentist, you think of, okay, I need my 6-month checkup. I need, maybe I need a cleaning, I need x-rays. And then I thought about pediatric dentists. When my daughter is turning 20 this year, but when she was a baby, I took her to a pediatric dentist. I didn't know what to expect. This pediatric dental office was like a playground. While the kids actually wait their turn to see the dentist, and they're probably scared, because most people are scared of the dentist. I'm actually not as afraid of the dentist, because I'm always afraid what will happen if I don't go to the dentist and what will happen to my teeth. So I go religiously every 6 months, but most people are afraid. I walk into this dentist office, this pediatric, I got to say pediatric, dental office. And they had like Nintendo. While the kids are waiting, they can play video games. And then when the kids are there, they give them toys. I mean, I'm like, this is so cool. I want to go to the pediatric dentist, and I'm a dad. My point is that they actually thought out of the box, right? You can't really think out of the box as a dentist, but I've never been to any other pediatric dentist. My daughter loved this dentist, and I don't know if they're all like that. I can't imagine they are. But the point is that, yes, you're thinking out of the box. You're doing something that will make people remember. And also, when she was done with her cleaning, they offered her a little toy after that. It's like a gumball machine. So you go in the gumball machine, turn the crank, and it comes out, and you get whatever toy is there. And then you go into a box. They had like baseball bats and like the plastic ones, baseball mitts. Like, wow, this dentist is thinking out of the box. So I like your idea about getting getting podcasters to actually be diverse and not in the same space and think out of the box. Because like you said, they're coming from a different industry, right? And they're asking questions that you might not have thought of because you're not in that industry. Do me a favor, give me an example of that. Like, so you have people that are in the mastermind group, but they're not in the same industry. And can you give me an example of a story of one of the groups that you were in and one of the meetings that you were in where somebody actually asked a question that you didn't think of? And what was that question?
Wow, that's a great question. And I don't have that story prepared. So I have to think about that situation. I can barely remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday, but I vividly remember 25 years ago walking out of the very first mastermind meeting that I attended. And I walked out and was like, oh my God, I finally found my tribe. So this was a group of other entrepreneurs who were all young. We were all young entrepreneurs at the time. That was the organization that I got involved with, getting this mastermind. But I remember thinking when I walked out of that meeting, I was in the fundraising business at that time. We helped nonprofit organizations. And there was a guy in my group who was in the precast concrete business. And precast concrete are those big planks that make up the flooring in like office buildings and that kind of thing. And so so they, you know, manufacture these concrete planks. And that was the other thought I had walking out of that meeting, is like, okay, well, this is a pretty cool tribe and I feel like I belong. But that one guy, like, I can't imagine what I could ever learn from him because our businesses are just so vastly different. And what I learned from, you know, being in entrepreneur masterminds like this with this diversity is that we, you know, even though his business was, you know, very, very different, we all have similar issues. You know, in business, you have people issues and you have cash flow issues and you have sales and marketing issues and process issues and scaling issues. You know, those are universal to business, regardless of what industry you're in. And so, you know, his approach to the way he met certain of those challenges was vastly different than anything I had ever experienced yet as an entrepreneur or would even think about, because I'm in like a service-based business. We're not making things and that kind of thing. So to me, that's the magic in that diversity. It is just, you know, getting that, like I said, outside the box perspectives on things.
The fact that you said he was different, you said you did not learn anything from him, if I heard you correctly. Is that a person who you would say is good for a mastermind group or not?
No. So what, and I'm sorry if I was confusing telling the story. I learned a lot from that guy over the years that we were together in this. That mastermind I stayed in for 17 years with mostly the same, you know, some fluctuation in or out, but mostly the same core group of people. No, I my first impression was that I wouldn't learn anything from him. But over time, you know, you learn that these issues are all, you know, somewhat universal. And I like being in that diversity environment where people aren't in working on exactly the same thing that I am and or have been. You know, often when you get into industries, everybody is sort of trained in the same ways and uses the same platforms and the same, you know, sort of philosophies of marketing and sales. And then, you know, when you bring in people from outside the industry, it really opens up the perspectives quite a bit.
Right. So you cleared it up and you said you did learn a lot. I think that's interesting. Also because people are always coming from different experiences. And their experience might not be yours. So it's kind of like another dimension. You said you learned a lot from this person because he was not in your actual industry and your business was vastly different, as you said. So it's good to know that there might be one thing about a mastermind group that I think about is somebody who has learned something that I haven't even learned yet because my learning path has just not gone in that direction. There's so many ways to learn, so many ways to find experiences that you might get into a rut with your own experience. You might be wondering, what's the next alternative? How can I do things differently? So a mastermind group is a good way to find avenues to do things differently because someone else has a different experience than you do and what they've experienced in the past. And like you said, you were in that group for 17 years. So obviously it was valuable. Otherwise you wouldn't stay in it that long. 17 years, wow, that's huge. Yeah. That's really, I mean, that obviously is a valuable mastermind group. Now with podcasters, I can see that happening. I own a podcast network, but I also belong to the Podcast Network Alliance, which has roughly, I don't want to get the information wrong. I have a dog downstairs and we got Mexican food being delivered. And I hear her name is Gracie. She's barking. So I assume Mexican food is coming. We ordered through Grubhub. And like, I don't know if you guys hear my dog
I don't hear
down there. Anyway, I find that mastermind group, especially this Podcast Network Alliance, has roughly about 20 people. I don't know if that's the actual number. It could be 18. It could be 30. I don't know. But I don't want to get the number wrong, because if they hear this this podcast, they're going to be like, you got the number wrong. But it's interesting because I joined that alliance, which I still call a mastermind group as well, about 6 months ago. We meet every first Tuesday of the month. And I've learned a lot. They're always talking mostly about advertising and inserting ads into their podcast clients or the podcasts that are actually listed on those networks. And I said, wow, this is great. I have a totally different revenue model. And with the World Podcast Network, I have several revenue models. But when I go to these meetings, I'm like, I never thought of that. That's really interesting. Maybe I should try that. So to me, that's really good to join a group like that of your peers, as you said. The exact word you said was peers. And your mastermind, I mean, that could become a mastermind group. They don't call it a mastermind group, but to me, what you're describing and what's described in Think and Grow Rich is exactly that, right? So I think it's really cool. Now, I want to give you some opportunities for a shameless plug. So let's talk about your course. Yeah. Talk about how people can actually find you on the internet. I know I've known you on LinkedIn. I've been to your website. Let me make sure I get the address right. I'm looking at it right now. Hold on. Six, that's a number six, not S-I-X. The number six, figuremasterminds.com. Go to that website, and there is a list of different courses you can join that Jay will guide you through the process, and then you could actually sign up. And then I also know Jay Fairbrother as the mastermind guy on LinkedIn. So you can go, and I'm just going to promote you because you're pretty good at promoting everybody else. We got to give back, right, Jay? LinkedIn.com/in/Jay Fairbrother. And that's it. And then you could get all the information from about Jay from there. Now, we also have an affiliate of the website as well. So I'm going to put the post, the link in the show notes in this podcast as well. So now, Jay, I want you to talk about your course. Go for it.
Okay. So I'm actually going to start by clarifying something around what you just said. And that's to illustrate that there are different types of masterminds that you can create. So in the true Napoleon Hill sense, those masterminds are usually limited to between 8 and 14 people, not 20 or 30 or 50. And the reason is that in a mastermind, it's important that everybody participates every meeting. So this isn't like a coaching or training call where, you know, you do your coaching or training and then you open it up for Q&A and all the extroverts, you know, jump right in and ask questions and the introverts sit there and they just listen the whole time. It's important in a mastermind meeting when you structure these things that you do certain exercises or ask certain questions where you just go around the room and everybody answers. Now, what you're doing there and the critical thing about masterminding is you're building the relationships within the group. So if you're the one that brought the group together, they don't only just build the relationship with you, but they build relationships with each other. And that's what creates the power in the group and why people will stay in it for 17 years, because they don't want to leave those relationships, right? You're creating real connections with people in a true mastermind. Doesn't mean you can't have larger groups. And there's things that I teach in the course about trickling down masterminding strategies and protocols and techniques into larger group meetings and group structures like the Alliance you mentioned, so that you get the same kinds of effects of a mastermind, but are able to do it in a larger group. The other thing that I'll mention before I talk about the details of the group is that you can sit and think like, okay, well, this sounds pretty simple. All I've got to do is go out and find, you know, 10 other podcasters and get them to agree to come to meetings so that we can help each other. It's really important that you know how to create a mastermind, because I've seen this happen. I've seen, you know, people even as paid coaches, where people are spending thousands of dollars to be in masterminds, and these things fall apart because the coach never had any real training on how to create the structure, how to facilitate the meetings, how to run things. So one thing that I always say, if you're trying to create like a true peer mastermind, is people have to pay something. They have to have some skin in the game. because part of the key to making a mastermind work is that participation and the commitment to serve the group in order to serve yourself. In other words, you commit that I'm going to show up, I'm going to be part of this group, I'm going to participate because I know that, you know, whatever I put in, I'm going to get threefold back in terms of the power of the group's responses and ideas and input and advice. So my program is create and launch your high-end mastermind in 60 days. And it is designed not as a teaching, learning, sit back and listen for 8 weeks, but it's actually designed to implement. So we start with, what kind of mastermind are you building? And what do you want to build that takes advantage of your unique superpowers and your skills and the outcomes that you think you can help people provide? And then, okay, who are we targeting and who's the right people to fill it? And how do you find those people? How do you get them to raise their hand? And how do you qualify them? Because it's the other critical thing about building masterminds is you have to have the right fit people in your mastermind groups. You get one bad apple in a group and it can really hurt the group dynamic. Or if you get people at completely different levels, like let's say you've got a podcaster who's, you know, monetizing their podcast, they've been doing it for 15 years, they really know what they're doing, and then you've got a brand new person just launched their fourth show. Well, those, they're not going to consider each other peers. And either you have to dumb down the conversation to the middle, and the person who's been doing it for 15 years feels like, you know, look, I'm not learning anything. I'm teaching all these other people. Or vice versa, the person down at the bottom feels like, I can't even keep up with this conversation because this is all new to me. So you want some parity in who you bring together. So again, that's all part of the course. We go through that in terms of teaching you how to find that parity, how to find the right people, and then we work on the marketing of it, okay? Now you've got the idea, you've developed it, you've figured out your structure and, you know, your agendas and what's going to happen. Now let's start marketing it, and how do we, you know, get people interested in this concept of coming together for this group brainstorming, group accountability, group improvement and implementation, and then fill it and launch it. So the 8-week program literally walks you through the steps each week of putting the pieces in place. It's like a system to, you know, launch a program at the end of it. So, and the investment is very minor given the potential value of what you can, in terms of how you can monetize these groups.
I learned a lot just last of what you said. Like you said, you can't join without paying something. Now, with that said, podcasters who have been, and as you said, 15 years, or even a couple of years, are looking to monetize their podcast. Now, everybody thinks about the obvious ways to monetize, right? Advertising, sponsorships, maybe affiliate links and things like that. But nobody has talked to me, and people are always coming to me about, how do I monetize my podcast? I never once said, start a mastermind group and charge. But listening to you just now, that's another avenue for me to actually offer people. And of course, I would offer them your webinar because you're the man. You're the mastermind guy, as you say in LinkedIn. So if you're a podcaster, obviously you are because you're listening to this show. If you're thinking of starting a mastermind group for your podcast, you definitely want to check out Jay's course. Again, let me give you that address. It's the number 6, not the word 6, figuremasterminds.com. Read the information, and then there's a button to register for free. Jay has come to me through several people, and I do want to give some shout-outs to, first of all, Ava Bodie, who's been a friend of mine since the beginning of the podcasting revolution back in 2006. Wow, goes back that far. And we met at WordCamp NYC that was started by the famous Chris Brogan, who's spoken on my events. Do you know Chris Brogan?
No.
He's big in the podcasting space. He's like every social media marketing book you read, he's listed there. And Ava has what's called the Busy Mom Media and the Busy Mom Media Network Group, who is now taking your course. So she has tell me about you. And then just weirdly enough, I hooked up with IBGR. I'm doing my call with Bill Eastman, who also, you were on the founder's call the week before I was. And I'm like, wow. And then it resonated with me, Jay. Two people that I respect highly mentioned you, which means now I respect you highly. enough to tell my podcasting community about you and your services and your expertise. So definitely, if you're interested in learning about another way to monetize your podcast, first thing you got to do is think about a mastermind group. And before you think about that, come to Jay's website, go to one of his webinars, like I just did the other night, and sign up for his course. Now, what my takeaway from this whole thing, Jay, is if you are specializing in a certain category of your podcast, which 99% of the podcasts do, your audience members are also your community. And you can think about ways to leverage your audience to become your mastermind group. I would say, I don't know if this is a good word, but clients or group members or peers, like as you said. Now, this is a cool thing because I know a lot of people that own podcast networks that do success podcasts like this one. So I can definitely start a mastermind group with them. And like you just mentioned a little while ago, you can't just start a mastermind group. You need to know how to start a mastermind group. The marketing, the selection of the people who are in the group. One thing that resonated with me the other day, and it was funny because when I was at your webinar, you said, think about 9 people who love you, right? Not 9 people who like you, because thousands of people can like you, but right, very few people love you. And I don't mean, as you mentioned, and remember, I was listening wholeheartedly the other night, not your family members. They love you unconditionally, hopefully, right? But people who are not related to you that love you. So what I'm telling podcasters right now is this. Jay will explain more about this if you join his webinar. Think about 9 people who not just like you, but who actually love you and respect you. I don't remember the exact phrase that you used. You said 3 things, but the love you thing stands out in my mind. Right away, as I'm listening to you the other night, I'm going on Google Docs and typing out these people. And I really couldn't think of 9 people immediately. I had to think back, who do I have really cool relationships with that I can actually put into a list of 9 people who actually love me? And eventually came up with that list. But I had to think, because I'm like, that person, no. That person, no. That person, yes. Put them down on the list. That person. And then you said, that's the type of person that you want in your mastermind group. So what I could tell people based on Jay's concepts is that think about 9 audience members, people who listen to your podcast that have already rated you on Apple Podcasts, maybe, or you have a blog and people that comment on your blogs or people on your LinkedIn or any social media. Think about those people and make them part of your mastermind group. I heard everything else you said. The word salad, which looks like a tag cloud. You showed that slide and I was thinking tag cloud, but you said word salad, but, you know, same thing. So that's it, Jay. Anything else that you would like to tell my audience about your mastermind concepts or expertise?
Yeah, I mean, why I think it's such a brilliant concept for podcasters is because you already have a tribe. And if you do that exercise that Bruce just mentioned, where you try to come up with 9 people who love you, know, love and trust, maybe you don't know yet who amongst your thousands of listeners loves you. Like, you have no idea. But if you give them the opportunity to raise their hand and say, yeah, I actually love you. I follow everything you do. I read your blog posts. I've looked at your website. I've looked at all your content and give me more. Those are the perfect people to create a small, tight community so that you can all help each other achieve whatever goals or aspirations that your podcast is about, or however you help people, or that you're have expertise in. And the ultimate is when you get to a place where you don't even have to sell your mastermind, because you position it as such an exclusive group that you actually flip the selling script and you ask people to apply. You say, I've got limited spots. Tell me why I should let you in to my mastermind, because we really are selective about the people we want in the group. So one of the things we do in the program, in addition to who's the nine people you want in the group, is who are some people you don't want? Who are some people that might love you, but you don't love them back? And let's make sure you're not letting them into your mastermind group.
How do you determine that? Let me challenge you a little bit. So you find someone that you have a really good relationship with. And this has happened to me a lot. Good business relationship to a specific level. And then you think everything's going really well. And then you have that meeting with that person. Maybe you'll go so far as to bring them into your mastermind group. And you don't realize that they are, as you say, the bad apple. Or you don't love them, as you said. What can you do if you already have that person in your mastermind?
Yeah, great question. So one of the things that we teach in the program is to create, basically we call it a constitution. So it's basically the protocols, rules, and expectations and accepted behavior in the mastermind group. And it's important to lay those things out up front so that people realize that, if they're not showing up consistently, that means they could get kicked out of the group. This is why it's important to work through this in a program where you can sort of look at some of the options and decide what's best for you. That can be very strict. I mean, I run a local mastermind here of Pittsburgh entrepreneurs, and we have a rule that if you miss one meeting, their monthly meetings, if you miss one meeting a year, you're kicked out. And you can be voted back in by a majority decision. If you miss two meetings, you're kicked out. No, it gets better. If you miss two meetings in a year, non-emergency reasons, like, I had a client meeting come up, I can't make it. That doesn't fly.
Yeah.
So if you miss two meetings a year, you're kicked out, and you have to be unanimously voted back in. So basically what that does is it's not so much about, setting up these strict penalties. It's more about the expectations you're setting at the beginning of say, look, everybody's time in this group is valuable. And when you don't show up or you show up late, that's actually disrespectful to everybody else in the group. And if that's all laid out up front in a constitution, as I call it, or just, some kind of a document which lays out the expectations and rules and protocols, then you prevent some of that stuff from happening in the first place. And the last thing I'll say, I know we're running out of time, is, I believe in an application process. So somebody should have to apply to be in the mastermind, and you ask some key questions in there to make sure that they're a good fit.
That's interesting. Now, I was just about to ask you what those key questions are, but I'm not going to ask you because I want to save that in case someone takes your course.
Yeah.
So I'm very curious, but I don't want you to give away the farm either. So, I actually think it's a good question. I would have asked, what are those questions that you would ask? But hey, if you want to know those questions, join his course. And that's it. Yeah. So, Jay, thank you for coming on the show. I look forward to speaking to you a lot very often. And I'm going to post the link to the course in the show notes here. And then we're going to play some PodSafe music. We got the song 2B coming up from Lee and Gold, because I want to support musicians, and I'm a songwriter myself. so I know how it feels. So everybody go to sixfiguremasterminds.com. You're welcome to check out Jay on LinkedIn. And Jay, thank you again.
Thanks, Bruce. It's fun being here.
Yes, great. And that was my interview with Jay Fairbrother. Check out his mastermind group, especially for podcasters. And now we're going to play Leon Gold with the song 2B. Let me tell you a little bit about Leon. Leon Gold is an electronic music producer, DJ, and the label owner based in Tel Aviv, Israel. Gold has been building a catalog of work that is really making a statement for fans of indie dance, melodic techno house, and progressive house genres. She was part of a wave of talented female artists unafraid to stand on the biggest stages. Leon has released a bunch of singles that have now listed in the top 10 Beatport charts more than once, including successful collaborations with the top artists in the industry. Enjoy To Be from Leon Gold right here on Become a Successful Podcaster. If you want to play Leon's music on your podcast, go to Leon's profile. I will put it here in the show notes, and you can put it right on your show for your audience. And that is it. Enjoy the music.